Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Corinthians. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Staying in the Word, it's His instruction to you and to me of what to do in any circumstance. He speaks to our hearts and impresses upon us from His Word, His revelation to us. He tells us what to do and how to handle situations. So, we are one in Christ. One body. Not many, but one, ultimately. We joke about it, but it really is true. Do you really believe there's any name tags in heaven? In eternity? The next thought, verse 15. But the foot should say, now, if a part of the body, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? These are rhetorical questions, self-explanatory, I think. I love Paul's practicality of how he explains something like this. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? You know, it's connected. Of course it's a part of the body. One of the things I think can happen, verse 15 and 16, second thought here to kind of look at, is if we know that from the first thought that we're one, we're just one body, when you and I start to step back and spend too much time on self introspective thinking, just looking at ourselves, we can start becoming focused, and it tends to cause us to be more isolated. And as we become more isolated, you know what Proverbs 18:1, it's a trap of the enemy. A man who isolates himself, seeks his own desire, and rages against all wise counsel. And so we can have a tendency to feel isolated, and we start looking, and then the other danger in this is that starts to be this odd comparing. Well, I'm not this. This seems to be more the focus, and I'm not this, so I guess I don't really fit. It's self, looking at self too much, and we start going into this comparison thing, and we're supposed to be looking to the Lord. The Lord, as we've been going through, talking about the gifts, the Spirit dispenses the gifts and as He wills and as He desires within the body. He has made each of us uniquely. Every one of us have differing gifts and capacities. You're designed uniquely, every one of us, both in a natural gifting and also in spiritual gifting. But all is needed. You know, pardon me, you know the gift of helps, for example? We don't think a whole lot about it because they're just always there helping. But I tell you, you need the gift of helps. You know, sometimes that is not the most glorious, glamorous role. That is some Western mentality that we've developed that's worldly. That has nothing to do with the body of Christ. You know how important your big toe is? We don't think about our big toes that much. They're there, Now, very few of us have attractive big toes, probably. You know, you don't walk around, hey, man, did you see my big toe? I mean, it's just, you know, it's not something you talk about even much. How many of us talk about, I don't talk about my big toe. I'm thankful for it, though. It is the center of balance. It helps us to be able to balance the rest of our body. It's very important. And sometimes you need to pick, when you're lazy, you don't want to pick things up. You know, you don't want to bend over. You just got to pick it up. You need your big toe, man. Helpful. I know some of you don't possess all those skills, but the idea is, if you're a big toe, that's cool. Just be the best big toe that you're supposed to be. If you're a hand, be a hand. If you're the foot, if you're an eye, be an eye. If you're an ear, be an ear. Whatever you are, it's good. God made you that. inside the body. This is part of what Paul's saying. We get so weirded out thinking and we start comparing whoever we perceive ourselves to be, we start comparing it. And then basically what we're saying is, God, you didn't know what you were doing when you made me. I should have been that. Can you imagine that? God, you don't know what you're doing. I should have been that. That's what we do when we go into this comparison mode. And it's not what God desires, because we are one body and all of the aspects, all the parts are needed. Every part plays its part. It's all important. Every piece is significant and matters. If the whole body, in verse 17, were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling? Every part is necessary, Paul's saying. There would be some kind of lacking. So when you think you're trying to be something or do something that's outside of the scope of your gifting and calling, where God's made you and how God's designed you, when you're doing that, what happens is now there's a lacking in the whole, because you're not doing what God's purpose for you to do. And you will not be fulfilled until I won't be fulfilled. None of us are fulfilled except for when we are doing the thing that God's purposed and called us to do, whatever that is. That's when it all fits together. You just being you in the Lord. Do you realize how much we've been impressed in our world that you being you, giving your life to Jesus, starting to follow the Lord loves you and I enough not to leave us just the way we were. We're always being shaped and molded into his image, right? To be more like Jesus. That's awesome. But God loves you and accepts you and me just as we are and wants to move in and through each one of us just like you are. That you've been wonderfully designed just as you are. And there's a purpose and a plan for your part as you fit into the body of Christ. Paul here in verse 17 says, we'd be lacking. We need each other. We need one another. Verse 18, next thought. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body. How did he do that? Just as he pleased. That as the Lord pleased, he set those members. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. This idea again, singleness, one body, many members, not all an eye. Can you imagine? These are odd. I love Paul because he has these odd thoughts that he throws out there in a sense. But when you think through it, it's just like, yeah, that would be weird. I think the third thought here is his will is what we want done. We are his body and he has placed us as he pleased. Whatever pleased him, and we want to seek, if he's designed it that way, then we want to seek to fulfill that, then that would be pleasing to him. If you're a foot, great. If you're a hand, great. If you're an eye, great. Just be that. It's going to be pleasing to the Lord. We want to please the Lord. One body, absolutely. Don't get caught and trapped into that whole thing of comparing to others and looking at self and this introspective thing. Just be who you are in the Lord. This ultimately pleases God because he placed you in the body the way he's designed for you to be. Verse 21, fourth. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. It's interesting that this is, again, an unfortunate aspect of looking at others and then building yourself up by devaluating the role of someone else. It's just not right. Again, you want to keep all your body members, right? We want to keep all our body, right? We want that. That's what we want. That's the way we should look at the body of Christ. We all need one another. And again, this idea of looking at others and in a way that would be devaluating. Humility is really what God would desire from each of us. Seeing the necessity of others and their gifts. It's really interesting, and it's a spiritual matter. It's an understanding the things that we've been talking about in going through the gifts. And as we get through, we'll finish up and we'll go through chapter 13 and 14. We'll have a better, well-rounded understanding of the gifting of God and how the body works in that way. But just, I love how this is just kind of thrown in there so that we understand, hey, we are one body and that we are mutually dependent on one another. We need each other. And we shouldn't diss on our own gifts, nor should we diss on the gifts of others. You know what I'm saying? You guys know what I mean by that? You know, we shouldn't be looking at the and diminishing another person's gifting because it's not as visible maybe as somebody else's, because I think you'd miss the whole boat on what God's purpose is as a whole body. Now, again, I've found it to be interesting. As you get older, you know, I'm looking at people, I see their mouths moving and I can't hear a word they're saying. And it's not because I don't want to. It's just something that's happened. You know, I have to hang on just a second and I lean in a little bit. You know, it's just the way it goes. It's a horrible bummer, but it's the way it goes. The reality is now I'm starting to appreciate things. I wish I would have worn earplugs more when I was using all my skill saws and welders and equipment going off all the time. We want to look at and appreciate, not devaluate, but we want to appreciate. We don't want to lessen. We don't want to diminish the value of someone else's gifting and calling. We want to appreciate that. And so I'm encouraging this thought process when we're looking at others. And we also want to be thankful to the Lord for the things that he's doing in and through our own lives, not to be comparing. This next thought, verse 22, no, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think less honorable. Again, we talked about the big toe. On these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. You know, I really see respect again and appreciation, this idea of humility, really functioning in humility. And when we function in humility, there's a result to that. We started off with this one body. There's just one. Start off, be careful. Then the next thing, be careful not to get too caught up in introspective thinking or comparing to others. We want to be pleasing to God. God's placed you as he pleased in the body. So that third thought is that, man, we want to continue to please God by accepting where we are in the body and what God's doing as he's designed us. And then we don't want to take away or diminish others, but we want to look at that respectfully. And then not only do we want to look at respectfully, but we really want to appreciate in humility others. And that was the fifth thought, appreciating others through humility, being humble, not seeing ourselves in a different spot than we really ought to, not thinking, as Paul said in Romans, not thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought, but to understand the need of mutual dependency. Again, this is that same concept seems to resound through there. Now, the sixth thing is there's a result from this aspect of humility. Verse 25, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. This is a unifying factor within the body. And I think that's really important. When we see the body as one and we understand the need, you know, Paul uses this as an example, even within marriage, for example. Paul talks about the fact that, you know, no man doesn't care for his own and give nutrition to his own self. and love himself in that way. He sustains his life. He cares for and sustains his life. He says, man, have love for your spouse. Have love for your wife in this way. You love, you care for yourself. Man, care for your spouse. And it's just a clear understanding that we do care for that. And this unifying through humility, seeing the value of others, respecting and appreciating them, brings us to this place of unity, that we function right. So, and I mean this in the right sense. When we're rightly connected to the head, spiritually speaking, to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we're rightly connected to that, all our motor skills, everything we're doing is functioning properly, the way it was designed to function. I know that things sometimes happen, genetically and different things. I understand that. But inside the body of Christ, as we are designed by the Lord, we are to function, if we're connected to the head, we're going to function properly. We're going to interact and be effective in reaching and connecting with others. There's going to be a unifying factor. If we just went through and took these concepts and just worked them into our being, we would find that ultimately there would be more of a unifying factor, even with inside of an assembly like ours, a gathering, a body of Christ like ours. And that's God's really heart. Why is this so much God's heart? What really is the impact with this? Why does this really matter that much? Mainly because it's not about you. That's why it matters so much, because it's not about you. You see, there's a world out there looking right now. I repel and am greatly offended by the group that left just north of here and went just south of here and is posting, picketing, and making all these things of how God hates now because of this destruction, Joplin, Missouri. Is there anybody here that thinks that's Christ-like behavior? Okay, because if you do, raise your hand. We want to escort you out. No, I'm just no. But seriously, the idea really is this. We've got a world of people watching. Do we care about some of these things? Like with the two young guys here that shared their worship with us, and they've got a heart for a concern of kids that are being pulled in and sucked in to a military action. That's not affecting maybe directly you, but it's affecting them. It's happening on the other side of the world. You know, we can't do everything. I understand that. That doesn't mean we just sit down and do nothing. That means you do what you can do. And what we can do is apply these things that we're learning so that your friends, your family, the people around are looking in and they see the body of Christ. See, you and I are his representatives. We are ambassadors, the Bible says, for him. In other words, we represent him. In other words, we're from a different country. Our citizenship is, we're really citizens. Your passport should really say heaven or eternity. Some of our Japanese friends came up with this great thing that they say they're heavenese. I'm serious. That's no joke. It's written out in Japanese. It's really, it's great, man. They got these shirts that just say we're heavenese, man. And they're just trying to create a distinction. Yeah, they know they're Japanese, but they're heavenese. Have you seen those? The Marty's got it at Kickback Cafe. He's got all these t-shirts and all this stuff set up. So I've got stickers and stuff. These bumpers, it's crazy. Heavenese. Anyhow, so you get the idea, though. Your citizenship, my citizenship, we're representatives of another country in that sense. We're ambassadors. And so when people are looking at you and looking at me, and we're dissing on our group, when we're dissing on another member of the body, now you can have legit critique, okay? But there's a biblical way to handle that, right? You've read Matthew 18. And there's also then the balance of if you're going to approach that, you got to approach that to make sure your heart's right. I've lived in a fishbowl for many years now. And people observe, but they really don't know what they may think they know sometimes, just by observation. You want them to. You want to represent Jesus Christ, but people don't always know. And so it's important that we approach that from the right heart, isn't it? That we have the right perspective. That when we're looking at those things, we're seeing it from God's vantage point. I know that we look around and we see plenty of schism around us. I understand that. All we can do is our part to just accept and say, hey, that's the way they do that. That's it. That's the way they approach that. Being judgmental is really a bummer because it leads you to, then you have to, if you're judgmental, then you've got to have a trial and you've got to have it, you know, all in your mind. And you've got to, you know, form a prosecution. All this stuff happens inside your brain. And then you've got to, you know, have this mock trial over this situation of these people. And we judge, jury, and you're also hangman. So now you've got to keep that, all that going in your mind all the time. Can you imagine that? You, as a Christian, the beauty of this is you're set free. You don't have to do that anymore. The thing that you're free to do is love people. You're free just to love them. Let God sort out all this other stuff. You and I are free to love. This last thought in verse 26, number 7 of your thoughts for the day. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Caring and sharing. I think probably the suffering part's not so bad because we can kind of embrace that. Somebody's struggling, we get in there, we try and help them, we feel their, we have compassion, we feel their struggle, we're working through it. But when one's exalted or lifted up in the Lord somehow, we struggle with that sometimes because we revert back to, well, because I am not a hand, and we start going into comparing. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. All we need to do is everywhere we go, whatever we do, just try and be the eyes and the ears, the hands and the feet, the body of Christ, whether by ourselves or with a group of people. Either way, we just want to represent Jesus as Christians. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for tuning in today and listening to the message. I know that God is doing a work in your life. I know that as you hear His word, He's doing something in your heart, and He wants to begin that good work in your life as He's done in many of our lives, and He wants to forgive you of your sin. Maybe some of you are just carrying that weight of sin and you just want to be forgiven. Well, God wants to forgive you. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God loves you. He wants to forgive you of all your sin. All you have to do is pray this simple prayer of faith and begin this new journey with Jesus. Again, it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you and God will forgive you. Just pray this simple prayer with me. Jesus, I want to ask that you would forgive me of my sin. You know exactly where I've been and what's been going on in my life, and I want to begin a new life in you. And so, Jesus, I ask that you would come into my heart and be my personal Lord and Savior, and that I would begin this new journey with you. I ask that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I might live a life that would please you and bring you glory. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you for saving me. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And if you're social media savvy, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes store now, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings. The service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.
Jesus, come.